Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Standing, let's pray together. Oh God, we just sang the greatest truth that's ever been told. God, may we let it go deep into our heart and soul. May no person leave here today without personally knowing the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I pray in His name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. The difference between this fella and this fella is this. He's a pastor, and I'm a tramp preacher. I just tramp around and preach anywhere I can get into place. I just tramp around here and tramp around there. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. This is Pastor Appreciation Day. Y'all got a good job. Y'all got an easy job. It's easy to be appreciative of him. Amen. He seems like a pretty nice fella. He told me so. And I know he's never told a fib or never told a story, but if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I went to a church with a friend of mine one time. I hadn't been a Christian long, and I down in Montgomery, Alabama, and I walk in, and she said, "They're going to know you're a visitor." I said, "Why? We don't bring our Bibles to church. We got them in the pews." I said, "Well, listen, friend. This is God's love letter to you. Amen. Don't leave that love letter sitting around nowhere. Amen." I did a funeral a while back over in Manchester, and right before a girl came up to me, a grown woman, and said, "Brother Gray, can you read this letter that Daddy wrote Mama in World War II when he was overseas?" And I said, "No, I can't." "Well, I understand." I said, "No, I left my glasses in the church office. I can't even see that stupid thing." I said, "I'll let you read it, but I can't read that old faded pencil." I said, "Oh, Pastor Appreciation. Now, I'm going to talk to you about two or three things, maybe four, maybe five. I think I'll just go through the whole book of Ephesians. How much time we got? I'm going to talk about two or three things that a pastor needs. Two of them you can't do a dadgum thing about. And two of them you can do something about. Now, let me start with one of the things you can't do anything about. You can't do anything about this first thing. If you're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Stop right there. If this man is a God-called man, it's from God. Amen? You can't do that. The worst thing that can happen is some mama raise her little boy up and say, "You're going to be a preacher." No, mama, that's not your job. Amen? It's God's job to call a man or a woman into the ministry. It's God's job to lift somebody up. And I believe you have right here a man who feels God's call on his life. Amen? This is something that has to be there. And I had a man one time, he was speaking, he was from the Billy Graham organization up in Louisville at Southern Seminary, and he said, "How many of y'all studying in the ministry?" Of course, most hands went up. And he said, "Most of you in 5 years will be out of the ministry. The dropout rate is between 75% and 80%. Why? Because their mama called and papa sent. Some people think they just gonna, "Well, it looks like a good job, just have to work one day a week." You know, I said, "Well, doggone, you know, I'll do that." And then there's some rascals, and y'all know that, in the ministry. There's some sorry low-down dogs in the ministry. And boy, I wouldn't want to be in their sandals when God says, "Come here, I got a word with you." And they're going to say, well, "Now, Lord, you know, I preached over here and preached over there and I did this." And God's going to say, "Get away from me. I don't know you at all." First thing any man has to stand up here and claim to be your pastor, he has to have a call from Almighty God. Amen? A call that nobody can change. Nobody can do anything about. And he can't get away from it if you tried. Because God is like the hound of hell. He'll just track you down. He'll find you wherever you're at. Amen? So Paul said, "I am an apostle. I'm one sent. Not by my own desires." Matter of fact, Paul, what started off, how's the first time you know him? He hated the church. Oh, he hated the church. You mentioned church to Paul, he'd snort and sniff and stomp his feet. He was there when the first martyr was put to death, and he said, "Amen, do it again, do it again." But God had other plans for Paul. God had plans for this man. And he called him into ministry. Oh, I didn't get saved. I was 25 years old. 3 months later, I told my pastor, I'm called to preach. He said, "Called to preach? What's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament?" I said, "One's at the start, one's at the back." That's about all I knew about it. I couldn't have told you anything about anything. I didn't grow up in church. And the preacher said, "Well, you go home and pray about it." And I said, "Okay." And I prayed. And next week I said, "I still feel called." He said, "What's the difference between a preacher and a pastor?" I said, "How you spell it?" He said, "I'll go back and pray again, boy." I said, "I prayed a little more." He said, "You still feel called to preach?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Good, you're preaching next Sunday." 350 people in that little congregation. And I thought, "Oh, Lord, I didn't know I was called to preach that quick." Listen, God calls not qualified. God calls those that are willing to say yes. Amen. You got a man right here, and you can look in your bulletin, you can see there's several pastors in our association and more association. Without a pastor, they can't find one. You know how blessed you are to have a God-called man. Now, every God-called man needs something that you can help with. He needs a congregation. He needs a congregation. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." I found out, you know what really makes a good pastor? A good congregation. I don't care how good you are, if you're preaching to an empty room, what fun is that? I had that back during that COVID. Y'all remember COVID? Oh my gosh, y'all remember COVID? One Sunday at Calvary, they had kind of an outbreak, and they said, "Well, you just go preach, and we'll put it on the YouTube." What did they put that thing on? Some kind of video, I don't know. And I got up there, and first time in my life, I stood in front of an empty church and tried to preach. I thought, well, it's just like regular Sunday, except people ain't asleep. I'm telling you. But every pastor needs a faithful congregation. Don't ever forget that. Don't say, we need this man, we need that man. Listen, the one thing you need is start at home. You need to know that you're a Christian, you're a member of God's church. And it says here, be ye followers. Amen. That's responsibility on everyone here. How many here are Christian today? Raise your hand. Oh, good, good, good. I want to tell you something. Your responsibility for your soul is not just in His hands. It's in your hands and on your knees and in your eyes. Amen? Don't say, I didn't get anything out of church today, because if you come here to worship God, you're going to get something out of church. Amen? It may not be what you want. It may not even be what He preaches. But it'll be what God wants to give you. I've had people say, oh, Brother Gray, that was such a great message, and it was so bad, I wondered when I'd get through, you know. I just, oh, Lord. I got up one Sunday, and I said, I think I preached the worst sermon that's ever been preached in the 150 years of this church. One old lady said, don't be so hard on yourself. I've heard you do a lot worse. Would you sit down? Women, be silent in church. Listen, you got a God-called man. You can't do anything about that. That's between him and God, amen? But you need to be a God-called congregation. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that raised your hand and you said, I'm a Christian. You need to pray every day for your own soul. You need to pray every day for this church. You need to pray every day for the kingdom of God, amen? We live in a world today that, oh, it's just breaking my heart. If you don't know what kind of world we're in, you take your Bible, not right now, and turn to the book of Romans and read the first two or three chapters of Romans. That's where we're living right now. It's a terrible, terrible. We got this side saying they're bad, and this side saying they're bad, and this side saying they're bad, and everybody saying they're bad. And you know what? When you get everybody against everybody, you don't have God anywhere. God told me, love your enemies. Just like that song you sang. You got to do good with what you got. So, listen. If you want a good pastor, be a good church. If you want a great pastor, be a great church. W.A. Criswell, pastor at the then the largest Southern Baptist church in America. He said one time, he said, I can get up and read the grocery list my wife gave me and give an invitation, and people will walk the aisle. You know why? He said, because it's not my grocery list. It's my church. It's been out all week winning souls. They bring people in. He said, I get the credit. But my people have been out all week. They've been in the highways, in the byways, in the homes, in the apartment houses, at work, wherever they are. They're sharing Jesus Christ, and they bring them to church, and I get to preach to them. So I want to tell you, church, you do your part. You got a God-called man. You be a God-called church. Amen. Be a church that prays. Be a church that cares. Be a church that ministers. Be a church that gets out of here and into people's homes. I got to lead an old fella to the Lord a while back. First time I went by his house, a man in my church said, my uncle lives right there. And I said, well, does he go to church? He said, preacher, he's 73 years old, has never been in a church building in his life. He's never been for a wedding. He's never been for a funeral. He's never been for a Bible school. He's never been, and furthermore, he could care less about it. I said, I got to meet that rascal. And I met him. And he told me, he said, well, I'm glad you come by. Don't expect to see me at church. I said, I don't want you at church. Well, why not? I said, I got enough people there pretending they want to be there. I don't need one more pretending. Twelve years of dropping by and seeing that man. I got to lead him, his wife, and his oldest daughter to Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the time. Church, get on your knees and pray for this man, because I guarantee you, Satan's after him. If Satan knocks you off, well, there's one pew, one seat missing. Satan knocks this man off, it goes to the whole community. Amen. You got a God called man, and it's not always what you think. You know, you think, well, I'd like to be God called. Well, let's go down back up just a little. You're in chapter 5, go to chapter 3. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, what can you do? You can be a good congregation. You can pray for your pastor. But know this one thing. Paul said, chapter 3, verse 1, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, I found out, not by experience, thank you very much, when you get in jail, you don't get to do what you want, do you? When you're in jail, somebody tells you when to get up, they tell you when to go eat, they tell you when to go take a shower, and this man is a prisoner of God. You might have your dreams, you might have things you want to do, but you have to lay them aside, do what God tells you. Do what God tells you. Oh, listen. Listen. Listen very carefully. Hard to find prisoners of God nowadays. Now, you can't do anything about his call, but you can do something about what? Being a faithful church. Now, the second thing a good pastor needs, and I almost hate to mention this. You turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Now, y'all can't do anything about this. You got to realize when you serve God, there's not much you can do. Amen? There's certain things you can do, certain things God has to take care of. Amen? You can have your plans. God's got His plans. He needs a God call. He needs a faithful church. Go to 5:22. He needs a wife that'll submit. My wife calls that God writing fiction. She said, God just got a sense of humor there. No, 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 no. Listen, listen, listen. Listen very carefully. He can't do what he needs unless he's got the support he needs. And it begins at home. I had an old preacher tell me, he said, "Woo!" He said, I had a wife that I spent years praying for, and she finally left me. He said, I prayed about the next one before I got her. You just don't take what you get, amen? It takes a special woman to be a pastor's wife. My wife used to think pastors were different until she married one. Then she found out they're just human. They're just human. My wife in every way is better qualified than I am a lot of things. But of one thing, she never questioned something I want to do in the ministry. I told her one night, we were over in Shovel, and I said, oh, I got so-and-so in my mind. She said, what? And I said, I got to go see him. She said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. He lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I drove to Bowling Green that afternoon. Listen, a wife is somebody who can't control what God lays on her pastor husband's heart to do. But she can make sure that he knows he's going to have a peaceful place at home. You know, God gave us families so we don't have to fight with strangers. No, that's not it. God gave us families so we'd have a place to go no matter how hard the world kicks you. No man can stand effectively in the pulpit unless he's effectively loved at home. So God bless you. You got your work cut out. I mean, you got your work cut out. So every man is going to be a pastor needs a God call. Amen? And he needs a God-filled congregation. Amen? And he needs a God-filled wife. And now we're going to go to the last chapter, chapter 6. I told you we'd go through the whole book of Ephesians. Whole book, whole book, whole book. Look here. I hadn't even started preaching. She's under such conviction, she's running out the door right now. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, I wouldn't embarrass her for the world. I had a lady one day get up. She had a crying baby. She had a crying baby. She's getting up. You know how you try to sneak out in front of the whole congregation? I said, Miss Eileen, that baby's not bothering me. She turned around and said, yeah, but you're bothering this baby, preacher. I said, go on out the door, get out of here. So we got to have a God call, amen. We got to have a God wife, amen. We got to have a God church, amen. Now, here's the thing. Listen. How many of y'all been in the military? Oh, what were you in, brother? Navy. I said military.
Army.
Who else had the hand up? What you got? Do you have your hand up? You need to talk with this fella. What about you? Army. Somebody over here? Anybody in my... Army. Well, I guess you can all read or you'd said Marines. I'm not sure. Oh, listen. If you're in the Army... I found out the Army wants you. I was in the Army, by the way. I was special. I was selected to serve. Uncle Sam sent me a letter and said, Jim, you're special. Please come visit with us. And, you know, he was so nice, I couldn't tell him no. I tried. Listen, when you're in the Army, you'd have to do the Army's business. Amen. I was down in Biloxi, Mississippi when Hurricane Camille came through, training at an Air Force base. And I'm telling you, and they said, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be horrible. Things are going to blow up. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. And they said, everybody needs to leave the Gulf Coast. So I walked up to my sergeant, and I said, Sergeant, they said we need to leave. I'll be glad to go back to Tennessee. He said, soldier, you stay right where you're at. I said, not what I wanted to hear. A soldier, an airman, a Marine, no matter what you are, if you're in the service, you have to do what you're commanded to do. Amen? And people in the Lord's Army today, I hate to say it, most of them are AWOL, absent without leave. They say, I'm a Christian. Where you go to church? Well, I don't. Then I doubt if you're a Christian. Friend, if you can lay out of church... God's bride, if you don't care anything about that, I doubt you care anything about God. Amen? You say, Brother Gray, that's kind of hard. I'm really a Christian. Well, get up and show it. Amen? Now we're in chapter 6. Now he said right here, chapter 6, verse 11, church, put on the whole armor of God. Get dressed and ready for battle. Amen? Listen, you can't say you're in God's church if you're not doing battle with Satan. You can't say you're in God's church if you're not doing battle with evil. You can't say you're in God's church if you're not trying to rescue the perishing, save those that are lost. You just say, well, all I want to do is go to heaven. That's not enough. God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. And when you become part of the church, God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh. But on the whole armor. If you want a great pastor, you be a faithful church that follows God, and you be a church that's ready to go to battle in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I get a little mad at our wimpy church today. We talk about love. Jesus said, you bunch of vipers, you bunch of dead trees, you're worthless. Jesus laid it on the line, didn't He? Now, He was loving, but He wasn't afraid. But on the whole, armor of God. And we're going to go through there. Not all of it. You got to put this on, that on. You got to get ready. You got to go into battle. Don't like fighting. That's why I go out in the backyard sometimes. Miss Gray likes fighting. I go out in the backyard and hide. Listen, what do you do in this battle? Let's go down to verse 18. We're about through. I can smell the food. Here's the greatest battle you fight. Pray. I find a person that prays a lot, does a lot. Person prays little, does little. Now, I know some of you pray. You see them blue lights come on behind you. You start a real quick little prayer meeting, don't you? I passed a policeman friend of mine the other day. He was holding up traffic, doing a speed limit. So I just goosed it. I was right there on Madison Street, and he's doing about 30 miles an hour. I said, watch this, and I shot by him about 45. Them blue lights came on. He wasn't my friend. It was somebody else. I said, I can explain. Listen, how much did you pray before you came to church today? Ladies, y'all fixed your hair, put on a little war paint, put stuff in your ears, stuff on your toes, stuff on your fingernails, squirted a little smell ammonia. Man, you got up and went, I'm ready. You know, that's the difference between a man and a woman. Man thinks he looks good all the time. If you want to see something happen at church, you better let it start at home. You get up and you wake up in the morning, you wake up, you might say, now, Lord, I thank you for good days, good night's rest. God, I want you to show me what I'm going to do today. Now, you may say, well, Brother Gray, I work in a factory. You know what? You can serve God in a factory. Brother Gray, I work on a farm. Well, you can serve God on a farm. Brother Gray, brother, don't make an excuse. Just start off, give your day to God before you ever get out of bed. And then all day long, pray. Pray. What's pray? Well, pray, you don't have to do this. I pray a lot going down the road, especially my granddaughter was learning to drive, and they gave me the joy of being the one that rides with her. I had a year-long rolling prayer meeting through Bedford County. That girl starts off at 20 miles an hour. And then a week or two later, she's doing about 60 on that same road. You know how many mailboxes are between her house and the high school? I know. Every one of them went right by my nose. Listen, pray, 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 pray. Jesus said certain things can't be done except through what? Prayer and fasting. And prayer is the greatest resource you have. Pray. So you need a God-called man, you need a God-called woman, you need a God-called church, but you all need to do God's calling. God's calling. Now, some people not in church right now. You know why? I'm glad they're not. Because they're fixing our food. That's part of their calling. They're working while we're praying. Now, here's what you do. You pray, verse 18, chapter 6, pray always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Huh. Huh. What are you praying for? For all the saints. For all the saints. For all the saints. You think you're in this alone, you don't know a thing about God. God says, I love everybody. There's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. I love everybody. You ought to pray for everybody. I was at a church once, and this side wouldn't talk to this side, and that side wouldn't talk to that side. And I told them, I said, we need to stop this revival right now. Y'all go across the aisle, hug each other. Kiss each other, shake hands. Not a one person moved. Not one person. Matter of fact, after the service, one of them told me, you don't have to bother coming back. I said, you don't either. I said, but God's got to do something to break this up. That's what I like this church. You know one thing I like about this church? Besides the people, you got a center aisle. When you come in that front door, nothing should come between you and the altar of God. Amen. Straight shot. So you're going to be a faithful church, a fighting church. You got a faithful pastor with a loving wife. And I want you to pray for him. Look what it says in verse 19. Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Preachers, don't be afraid to step on toes. Preachers, don't be afraid to tell truth. My grandson got in trouble the other day in Oakland Middle School. A girl came up to him and said, "I'm trans." He said, "You're a girl." She said, "You can't say that. I'm trans." He said, "You're a girl. God made girls and God made boys." She turned him in. He got in trouble. Preachers, don't be afraid to speak God's truth. Don't be afraid to speak God's truth. Now, I'm not picking on gay people. Listen, my wife's brother died of HIV/AIDS. He was gay from top of his head to the bottom of his feet. But he knew one thing, that I loved him and my wife loved him. A lot of his family was ashamed of him. I've seen my wife when he's laying there covered in sores, rubbing lotion on him. And the nurse said, "You shouldn't do that." She said, "It's my brother. I'm not going to let him suffer." I've picked him up and put him in the car to take him places. He was down to nothing. Listen, just because you're different doesn't mean God doesn't love you. But I don't care who you are, God has a plan for every one of us. Amen? So y'all pray for this pastor that he could speak the Word of God. Too many pulpits got people up there tickling ears nowadays. We need men who speak the Word of God. So now here's some things you can do. Four things I told you. You got to have a God-called pastor. Amen? Got to have a godly wife. You need to be a faithful congregation. You need to be a praying congregation. One other thing you can do. Now this is a kind of touching personal. You could pay him enough to live on. How many of y'all noticed the price of everything's gone up? You know, my wife had to increase my allowance. I don't get paid. I get an allowance. You know, I said, "Honey, the gas has gone up. Quit driving so much, boy." Now listen, if it's affected you, I guarantee you it's affected your pastor. Now, you can't do anything about his call, and you can't sure can't do much about his wife. Nothing personal. But you can say if we've called him, we're going to take care of him. We're going to take care of him. To the best of our ability. To the best of our ability. Now, y'all got the money to do it. I can prove it. Y'all. Wait a minute. Look here. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm getting old. That's money laying around. Y'all got money just laying around this place. Oh, Lord have mercy. I saw that when I got up. Preachers notice those things, you know. We live by faith, but we still have to pay our bills. So I encourage you to the best of your ability. I have been so blessed to have churches that took care of my needs. Really took care of my needs. Now, I don't know your finances, don't care to know. But I want to challenge you. If you want a faithful man, you be a faithful church. Amen. Just think what he has to spend on shoes, look, size, and feet. Lord, have mercy. Here you go. I'm going to give this money to you, Pastor. I'm going to be the first one to chip in. His wife said, "Give that to me. Give that to me." Oh, listen, are you ready for God to work? You got to be let him work in your life first. I guarantee you, you get right with God, everything around you changes. I'll tell you this in closing. When I was a young Christian, we had a pastor, an interim pastor, that was the most boring man I'd ever heard in my life. He never looked up. He read everything down. He had it written down, and he did this, and he never changed his voice, and he went through the whole sermon just like that. And here I am, a brand new Christian. And I said, "God, I can't take this. I can't take this." God said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Jim Gray. Remember, you know, I got saved a while back." God said, "You don't judge that man. I've used that man for over 60 years. What have you done?" He said, "You start praying and listen to what he says, not how he says it." And I started praying. That man still read his sermons, never looked up. But I went out of church excited because it was happening in here. Amen? Don't blame him if you're not doing flips and praising the Lord. What are you putting into it? And we're going to give you a chance in a minute to make a decision. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day. They've already given you fly swatter. What more do you need? I gave you a dime and they gave you a fly swatter. There, we can just go home now. You don't even have to stay for lunch. Listen, we do need always to extend God's grace to everybody. There may be somebody here today that needs to make a decision. You say, well, I want to wait when my pastor's up here. Your pastor's going to be up here. You don't make a decision for me. You don't make a decision for him. You make a decision when God knocks on your heart. You wait till you're ready and God will quit knocking and you'll never be ready again. If God's speaking to you, do it right now. That's how important it is. I appreciate the chance to speak on this pastor. And I know you love him and people in this community loves him. He's got God's call. He's got God's woman. He's got God's people. Now, all of you together need to do God's work. Amen. It's not his job to do it all. And above everything else, pray for him every day. Brother, you come up here. We got any song leader? Who's going to lead us in a song of invitation? Is that George Beverly Shea coming here? Well, you stand here, and let's all stand together. We're going to have a short prayer. I'm going to turn this over. Father, we see there's things that are in our control and things that are out of our control. But God, no matter what things are going on around us, you ought to be in control of our life every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. God, no matter what happens, whether it goes according to our plans or not, we ought to turn to you and say, Father, your will be done, no matter how rough the going. God, I thank you for this man that this church honors and loves, but I know his heart is that all would come to know Jesus Christ. And I just pray right now there'd be a man or woman in this church that's been struggling with a decision, that today they'll come, take their pastor's hand and say, I need to surrender to Jesus Christ. I need to become a Christian. I need to become a member of this church.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.